Listen, I have a problem. I need you guys to hear me out.
All right.
How much did DAZN cost last year?
I think it was 120.
No, I think it was more.
Wasn't like 120 for the year?
It was $20 a month. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No, the monthly and the yearly were different. Monthly was more expensive.
I forgot.
Well, yeah. Let's just say it's 120. And I think for a lot of us, that was our first time ever paying. Well, I don't want to say this on wax, but this was my first time paying for football. I've never had cable. So, you know, I was a big online stream advocate. Legal ones, of course, but the ones that I don't pay for, right? Mm-hmm. And DAZN had a great interface. You could see where the goals were. It was easy to go back and forth. It was nice on your TV, on your phone. Everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, the rights have went to Fubo. For some reason, the price jumped up to $200. And guess what? They don't have the same interface. And worse than that, the highlights they post on YouTube, 480p.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
They turn off the comments. So they don't see people complaining.
Yeah. And they post them late. They don't post, like, they didn't even post last week's highlights, by the way. Because I was trying to catch up with the Bournemouth and Villa game. They literally posted, like, 3-4 days later.
Bro, they post half of the Premier League games. They don't even post the games.
DAZN lets you just go back and watch games. Like, this one, you have to, ahead of time, select which teams you want to record. So you can't go back.
The worst thing is, like, if you're delayed a bit, you have to keep hitting 15 seconds just to catch up. There's no live button. It's like, if you're behind on the stream, you literally have to keep hitting. No, there's no live button. You keep having to hitting 15, 15, 15, 15. I'm like, bro, my finger hurts.
And every time you want to start a game, it's like you have to fast forward to, like, the middle where, like, the orange line, the orange timeline is, like, at its latest part. It's not like you just click the live button. It's pathetic. This is a terrible service, and it's more expensive.
But you guys are missing something. We can watch J. Cole play basketball. That's what you guys are missing.
I did not notice. What do they call it?
The shooting stars on there.
No way.
CBL basketball. Yeah.
We can watch J. Cole.
We can watch J. Cole go 24% from the field, bro. That's what we can watch.
Is it worth it though? Yeah, they need to add Sunday League after, then probably be worth
Need to add the 11-on-11 league, huh?
No, to be fair to them though, they got the Prem, they got Serie A, and they got Ligue 1. So you got three leagues.
Yeah, but no Champions League or Europa League.
That is an L. I don't lie, that is an L.
That's the most important. That's the most important. It's like I'd sacrifice two of those for just Champions League.
Yeah, and then we're gonna have to pay for the World Cup too, which is coming soon.
And don't forget,
no
FA Cup, right?
Yeah.
So come on, we're missing so many games, and we're paying more. But listen, that aside, I know we have a lot to get to today, so let's start.
Big Fish, take it from here.
Ladies and gentlemen, all across the world, welcome to 11 on 11 Tuesdays. I just want to give a big shout out to the big three up top, Arf, aka Two Leg Tackle, aka Brexit Football.
This is Tiki Taka Football, Guardiola Football.
Next, Ace, Talent ID, yeah?
He was never that good. He was never that guy, I'll be honest with you.
Next up, our big man up top, Mo Salah.
Well, lock him. I got time today, brother. I got time today.
Every Tuesdays.
So today we are recording on the Sunday right after the Chelsea Tottenham game, and our Chelsea correspondent, I know, is and mixed emotions. There's a lot going on that day, but Mo, can you just give us your general thoughts on the game?
If Anthony Taylor went missing, I wouldn't be upset.
Oh my God.
You know, I wouldn't be like, hey, you know what? What an unfortunate coincidence that he happened to go missing after this game.
Damn.
Take that the same day that we didn't see you.
Hey man, quick flight to London. That guy's a terrible.
They might be listening. They might use this against you.
I hope they listen because after they listen to me, investigate my story, they'll look at his reffing and realize, damn, this guy's terrible. Get him out the job. They'll fire him before they arrest
me.
They'll realize that's a crime to humanity before what I've said is considered a threat.
Oh my God.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. No, but that game was crazy, man. Where do you guys want to start off with? You want to?
I just want to say, I think Chelsea Tottenham might be the best game in the league. Think that
after City,
Liverpool and City downgraded. It's not that good no more. It was good before. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of it as much. I think I like Arsenal Tottenham more than that game. But I think Chelsea Tottenham is objectively the best game in the Premier League. It's like the perfect ad for the Prem. This is literally everything that you wanted in a game. You got players fighting each other. There's hair being pulled. There was big tackles. It was a lot of physicality that was allowed to play on. The coaches were fighting each other.
Yeah, the coaches are celebrating.
Yeah.
Like running down the touchline like they scored a goal. It's kind of like Barclays old school vibes in a way too. But we need to talk about the game.
I want Romero charged for assault. you can't be doing high school tactics out here pulling hair. Nah, you can't be doing that.
Blame Romero? Because he kind of got away with it. Like he's doing his job as a defender. You know, he's getting.
Yeah, I blame Romero. Other players of course face. I blame Romero. He's the one who did it.
The ref is the one who allowed it though.
And this ref is garbage. He shouldn't be allowed to ref us. This isn't last season. I said this before we did this podcast stuff. I've been saying this guy's terrible. He shouldn't be reffing our games. And again, it's every season without a doubt. At least two games every season he screws us.
Yeah, that's the FA
points,
might have to.
That's 2 points that we lost because he's out here letting people pull hair. The Havertz tackle too, talking about I saw the ball. No, you didn't, you kelp. You see shit.
To be fair, that was the linesman.
You can't see nothing.
No, Mo, when you watch that Havertz one back from Anthony's
channel, I know that linesman was terrible
too. From his angle, the linesman.
Early in the game, Havertz had to argue with him about a clear corner that Sessegnon gave up. It got overturned.
Listen.
But the linesman was like, nah, bro, it's you, Havertz. Like, bro, get out of here. These guys need to go. Get that whole team out of here.
About the hair pulling, you used to make fun of Guendouzi for the same thing.
For what?
You don't get extra time to think of an argument. You used to make fun of Guendouzi for getting his hair pulled. You used to make fun of Guendouzi for getting his hair pulled.
By who?
We're not playing semantics. It was by a Brighton player.
You can't just throw allegations out here without the full story.
This is you dodging. I hope you know this is you dodging. This is you dodging. You made fun of my player for it. What do you mean allegations? It's on wax.
Your player sucks. All right.
See, you're giving up. That's the white flag. That's the white flag.
I need you to prove
that's
your allegations.
That's the white flag. That's the white flag. That's all I need, Mo. Let's talk about the game now.
Let's talk about the
flag.
Game.
You threw up the white flag.
Boys, focus.
You threw up the white flag. Okay. Listen, let's start with the positives.
We're better than Tottenham. That's the positive.
No. I think the biggest positive for me was Tuchel outclass Conte in almost every way. And I know I've had my concerns about Tuchel and what I have to say, but it feels like every time he faces Conte, his team just turns up. I don't remember the last time Chelsea had a bad game against this version of Tottenham. And the player showed up too. Conte, N'Golo Conte was phenomenal, in my opinion. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. Koulibaly was just picking passes, tackles, scoring goals. Jorginho was really good. Really, really, really good. I don't know if you agree, Arf.
We'll come back there.
Arf's mad because of that goal. He's saying it's that one incident where he did a poor clearance. He's like, oh, yeah. Bro, Jorginho's pulling strings the whole game.
Yeah, but come on. AC did bring it up. I think it was a week or two ago in the Arsenal preseason game. Jorginho is sometimes a liability defensively, and it's kind of showing a couple times now. That's a big mistake. There's a whole foul and everything before that. No, he had a good game. But there's that liability.
Defensively, too, he had a great game. It's not even liability.
This is one of the better games I've ever seen Jorginho
I think the more standout players were definitely Conte, like you mentioned. Loftus Cheek, who really stood out for me, and Reece James. Now,
hold up. One thing,
Before we jump into anything, I just want to quickly bring this up since Ace, you brought it up. Trent, game winner. Reece James?
I'm just saying,
Ace. Yeah, you might have to reconsider your take earlier.
No, he scored a good goal.
He set up a goal, too.
I have no idea how he was that open.
No.
When healthy, he's been putting in great performances.
Not only did he score a goal, he set up a goal right before that should have been scored by Havertz.
Oh, yeah. Havertz fluffed it. No. He had a great game. I don't know what you want me to say. I like Trent better.
Clearly.
Okay. Yes. But, why would this change my opinion?
Yeah. No, but in terms of the positives and negatives, like obviously the positives all go towards Chelsea. Like they were so dominant from minute one to minute 90. Obviously the whole Anthony Taylor reffing situation changed the result. But in terms of result, Chelsea deserved 3 points, clearly.
Definitely.
Tottenham deserved nothing out of that game. Tottenham looked like the previous Tottenham. This is the Tottenham of the past. I have seen no difference, which I'm kind of disappointed with. I expected much bigger things, but again, Tottenham kind of get away with it. Like Harry Kane,
no,
I know
he scored the game winner. What minute did he sub on? I didn't see him. I swear to you, I did not see him play.
I think it was the 90th minute.
Yeah. Yeah, literally, 96
got a touch on the goal and then left.
Yeah.
He probably snuck on when the coaches were fighting.
He got away with murder today. Without getting that goal at the end, he got away with murder. He had a howler today. Him and Son too.
Son had a big stinker. Mo, can we talk about it? Anonymous?
Yeah.
Packed up.
He had a bad game.
Absolutely packed up.
No, but
the whole team got packed up.
No, but you
can't say Son. Okay, bro, that whole team got packed up. It wasn't just Son.
Hold on. Listen, I just want to say this. Yesterday, y'all called me out on the Discord. When your team performs poorly, you call out your best players.
Exactly, Arif. This is exactly what I want to talk about. Where's Son?
I'll ask you guys a question. Do you guys know who's
playing? No. Answer his.
No. Who's playing the midfield?
Højbjerg, who scored a goal, and Bentancur. Great players.
I'm trolling. But that my point was. My point was that team was so just not there, bro. That team just in general was just not there. They were getting packed up.
We understand the general point.
Yeah, so you're gonna blame Son for what? He had one chance to break.
It's called accountability.
No, but he had one chance to break in that game.
It's okay. We're gonna bring this up later when we bring up that other team. It's okay. We'll bring it up later.
That's fine.
We'll bring it up.
Forget.
We can move on.
This is a bad game to try to pin it on Son. That's a bad game. That's poor from you guys.
It's not pinning it on him. He's supposedly their best player, according to you, right?
Be better. No, I said Harry Kane's their best player. I said he was their best player last season. Be better.
Quickly, can we talk about Koulibaly? Because I feel like he's gotten kind of some unfair disrespect early in the season when you've signed for Chelsea. Like, are we forgetting that he's one of the best center backs in the world? Like, I'm sorry, right now, especially after this performance against a good team at Tottenham.
I wouldn't go that far. Relax.
It's in the Ruben Dias, Van Dijk levels right now. Like, he's
better than Van Dijk. I said it, bro. He's better than Van Dijk.
Listen, I wouldn't go this far after two games, right? But can we talk about how he was disrespected and in jail in Napoli for so long and no one wanted to get him out of there?
I don't think clubs are putting enough bids. And Napoli, they're kind of a hard team.
If you really want, you can. I know De Laurentiis, whatever, he's one of the worst owners to negotiate with. Yes, I understand that. But any big club, if you really want a player, you can try your hardest to get him. Harry Maguire went for 80 M's.
They didn't offer Napoli 80 mil. I'm sure they would have
shut up
80.
They wanted 80.
Yeah, they wanted that type of price tag, which is he's definitely worth it. If I'm being completely honest.
That's my point. So if guys Maguire are going for 80, how did Koulibaly stay where he was?
Because he didn't push for the move.
I'm saying
he never really pushed for the move.
Of course, you're not going to push for the move. You can't. You're in jail.
No, look at Fofana, for example. The man's pushing to leave Leicester right now. There's players that will push for their move. Is,
there's a deeper, darker criminal link that we don't really have to talk about.
Can we bring up Aubameyang links to Chelsea? Mo thoughts?
If we get him for free, fine. But otherwise, I don't want to spend a dollar on him. Absolutely Why?
Don't you need a striker? Last week you need a striker?
Yeah, but he's 33. I get that he's having a better performances under Barcelona than he was Arsenal. But like, bro, I'd rather move past an old guy who's like, it's like a one-shot thing right now where we have guys that are coming up like Broha. I'd rather give him the minutes. I don't want to give it to Aubameyang.
Agreed.
He's versatile too. He can play on the wing. He knows the manager as well. He's played well under the manager.
He can play on the what?
On the left wing. Why not? He plays striker and left wing.
No, the coach can pick him and he can... be in the left wing. He cannot play left wing. He cannot play left wing.
I mean, he's still very fast. Like pace did not disappear. He's still very athletic. He will give you 38 league games as well. He's a very fit player for his age. Might I remind you?
I don't think he play left wing at all.
I'm just saying Chelsea need a striker. Some will say it's not a good fit, but Chelsea seem desperate right now. And, you know, they can get him for cheap. They probably could get him for free. just because the whole registration issue is not so.
The biggest positive I've seen from Aubameyang and why I even entertain it is he cut off that stupid hair. That's the only reason.
Wow.
He looks more his age now. He looks more mature. All right, cool, man. You see, like, you know, relax a little bit.
You didn't see otherwise, the jacket and all or nothing? I don't think he's grown up.
Yeah, that was last year. He went to Barcelona. He went to Barcelona and you know, cleaned up a bit. But no, I wouldn't want him.
Went to Disneyland.
I don't.
Cool. I don't know if you guys see it. Disney World?
We didn't catch up. Spoilers.
Yeah, I need to catch up a little bit.
All right, but no. Listen, speaking of cutting off all your hair, Havertz. So what's going on? Is he in his villain arc? Is he trying to turn into like Majin Buu or something?
I can see this guy is so feisty.
He's so feisty. He's just fighting everybody. People are trying to help him up. He's saying, nah, I'm good.
I love this.
One tackle on Romero.
Yes.
That was, you know, you can get some crazy whiplash.
I hope you did.
Romero got him back.
Romero deserved it, yeah.
Romero got him back the next play and absolutely crunched him in a clean tackle. No foul.
Bro, Havertz low-key saw it coming. He just like half dodged it. Acted like he was hurt. This guy literally just dropped before he got tackled.
Yeah. It was smart. I was actually a great battle.
Yeah. I know that we talk about the whole striker situation in terms of Havertz, but in terms of like work rate, the guy does the job. And I completely understand why he gets all the playing time and why the managers love him so much. Like, that dude works hard, man. I'm actually curious to see how much kilometers he covered in that Tottenham game, because I feel like he was pressing from minute 1 to 90, nonstop moving, dropping in deep. I'm really impressed with Havertz. I know the goals haven't came in, but you know, he's doing all the hard work for Chelsea. Yeah,
he's like a poor man's Jesus with better heading ability.
I mean, he has a couple of chances he should have finished, but it's not as bad.
Do we want to get to the real meat and potatoes of this game? The Conte and Tuchel stuff?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I like it. First of all, before we start, who you guys taking if they were to fight one-on-one? Let's say. Wait, it depends what type of sport, though. MMA.
Conte.
I think I'm taking, I don't know,
taking Tuchel. You always take height.
Tuchel's a bad man.
Conte will scratch your eyeballs out and say, I'm sorry.
Conte was begging him to let go of his hand. What are you talking about? Conte begged me, what are you doing? Get off of me. Stop.
Tuchel's the type of guy who would headbutt you and then just like, I don't know, drink your blood or something like that. But honestly,
This is very Gen Z. I don't rate the aggressor. I rate the guy who keeps the same energy.
The guy who ran to the locker room?
Tuchel grabbed his hand. And Conte's like, wait, what is this type of thing?
Bro.
And then he came up to him. And then, you know when somebody asks to be held back and they're not really trying to fight? That's what Tuchel was on. Conte was going crazy.
Conte was afraid that Tuchel was going to rip his hair implants out and ran to the locker room. That's what happened. Yeah. Let's not change the narrative.
Yeah, he was afraid. Right.
Tuchel was ready for the smoke. Conte wasn't. Yeah, right. Conte got pulled back. He got yanked back and then begged for him to let go of his hand. Stop it.
This guy said begged. This is crazy. We're talking about them like they're in WWE. These guys are 50-year-old men.
No, it's good though. It's good for the Premier League. We love this. It's like the Wenger versus Mourinho, you know? It's just we saw a little bit Klopp last season fighting Arteta. But, so
in all seriousness, I think this is another point in a general perspective of the Premier League that Anthony Taylor should not ref Chelsea. And I think it shouldn't happen anymore. Also, now apparently they're gonna be putting out post like the discussions of VAR decisions and stuff. I want that discussion out ASAP. I want to hear what happened for them to have let Cucurella to get his hair pulled like that. Because that's low-key assault. I'm not even joking. That's actually just assault. That's not even playing the game. That turned into a Karen. Nah, it's
football, let's be honest. Man.
Bro, it is football. That's not football. The man turned his hand and pulled his hair. That's not football. I'm sorry, Mo. That is very football. That happens all the time.
I'm unhappy with your take because I really feel like you're very selective with who it's okay, who gets fouled and who's not. When we talked about it and cried about it for Arsenal last season, you were very quiet about it. You were like, oh.
I don't remember. Pull up the receipts, please.
No, he doesn't remember. All right, move on.
You don't remember MacArthur getting a kicking sock in the back of his foot? Okay, all right. Well, you don't remember Tomiyasu getting stepped on his face, but...
I'm not talking about
I think you're very selective in terms of like, the refs. Yo,
get out your emotions, you Arsenal fans. Get out your emotions, all right?
No. You're actually very selective. Wallahi, you're actually selective. You're selective in terms of...
We're talking about this game. If you have receipts of me saying that with Guendouzi, pull it up. Otherwise, let's talk about this game. Thank you.
I'm not talking about Guendouzi.
Bringing up Arsenal. Not Arsenal Guendouzi every day, please.
I'm just saying. I'm just calling out the facts, Mo. Every time it's Chelsea and then the refereeing issues. We need the FA to come in, this and that. When Arsenal, when we cry about it, you guys are over emotional. Come on, man. Now, I'm just saying you're being selective. You choose when it's Chelsea, it's a big issue. When it's Arsenal, you guys are talking too much. Nah, I'm calling you out, Mo, today. I'm calling you out.
Because you guys cry about small decisions. Pull up the receipt where
Small decisions. Getting stepped on your face is a small decision?
I didn't say anything negative about you guys with that. What the hell are you talking about?
Yes, you did.
Tommy used to getting stepped in the face? I don't even remember that happening.
Right. Everybody on the podcast, clip this. Pull up Make sure you come back. Pull up all the episodes where Mo talks shit, where he said we're getting over emotional. Anyways, we'll move on.
All I'm going to say is I'm pretty sure I've heard Mo say Blue Lives Matter, but let's move on. So next game that we wanted to talk about, was
that's crazy.
Manchester United. There's a lot of stuff that happened that game. 4-0 to Brentford. We did the little prediction segment, and I hate to say I know ball, but I know ball. and I was saying last episode that Brentford away is a tough game. It's a tough game, and for some reason, De Gea had a shocker. Mm-hmm. Most of the team had a shocker. Ten Hag didn't know what was going on. Felt like he was just surprised that these are the same guys he had in preseason. So yeah, it was a terrible game. Who wants to start?
I would like to go first. I'd like to call out that guy, Mr. De Gea, what I've been saying about this dude. Listen, man, it's kind of clear and obvious about De Gea. Like, I've been crying out that United needs a new keeper for so long. He's been having really bad seasons for quite some time. It's not something that just came out of the blue. Oh, he's been good. All of a sudden, he became bad. No, he's been bad for a while now. It's not been just one season. It's been multiple seasons. He's been underperforming under multiple managers now, so... I don't know, De Gea, like that Brentford game, I think just showed everything I've been saying for so long. Like, he's had howlers after howlers after howlers. He's such an unreliable keeper. So I don't know. United definitely need to look for a keeper. And I said at the end of the season, United fans are going to be crying out for a new keeper that can help this defense and it can help this team move forward. So I don't know. What do y'all think?
On the De Gea point, I understand your keeper making mistakes, your keeper having bad moments, but... I think this goes to the Arsenal game that we're going to talk about. Where's the character in the team? When somebody makes a mistake, and they showed this a lot in the All or Nothing documentary, when someone makes a mistake on your team, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect. But are you going to bail him out? Are you going to get him out? Or is that just his problem to deal with? Like, for example, at the end of the game, De Gea said, I want the media duties. Let me go to the media and apologize to the fans and say, hey, this was my fault. And cool, like I understand that might be a little bit of stuff you're doing in retrospect. Okay, it already happened. I can just apologize and get it over with. But that's character. Where's the character from the rest of the United team? Maguire, when was the last time you came out and talked to the media? Well, actually, I want to know if you did or didn't. I don't tune into your convos. But, you know, like when was the last time I've seen you take responsibility? United is really good with all like the social media posting and all. We go again. Like, next game will be better. But what do you have to show for it? Like, this is sad and pathetic. And I'm sure the manager, I don't really want to blame him too much, but this is the situation. You were the one who was saying in preseason, oh, this is a good squad. I'm happy with the players I have. And this is what they're giving you. Mm-hmm. So I hate to point the finger at you, but like, what was going through your head?
You know, you brought it up, your first statement, Ace, accountability. And Ten Hag did bring it up in his post-match interview. Like, players need to take accountability for their mistakes and their, you know, for the way they've performed on the pitch. And obviously United lack that. They lack character, like you mentioned. And it's obviously showing, you know, these guys are not willing to take accountability on the pitch. And obviously they won't do it after the game as well. So it's not looking good, man. There's like United is just a shambles right now, man. But Ace, you did bring up Maguire as well. And I wanted to talk about it. Like him wearing the captain armband, him playing alongside Alessandro, and then you got your 4 times Champions League winner, multiple La Liga winner, World Cup winner, Rafael Varane on the bench. It's kind of crazy to me. Kind of crazy, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know.
But that's the situation that you're in. You have, it should be Varane with one of those two. Not necessarily on performance or anything. Forget performance. It makes the most sense structurally. He's the only right-footed quality center back you have, right? So he should play with one of the two. The problem is, one guy's the new signing you bought for $60 million and you had to die fighting for, right? And you overpaid for, I think, honestly. And the other guy's your captain. So what do? You play both and you leave Varane on the bench? That doesn't make sense to me. If this is Ten Hag experimenting, cool. But you need points on the board. This is the Premier League. You can't take a week off, especially with this fight for Europe. I don't even want to say Champions League. For Europe, that top six spot might even be hard if they don't pick it up. Like, there's teams that are putting points on the board. Tottenham and Chelsea, they got draws today. But they're putting points on their board. They're winning the games they have to win. So it's going to be a long season for them.
Yeah. And we did talk about it last week, about the fixtures that's coming up for United. And right now, it's not looking good. They got Liverpool next. And if they lose 4-5-0, like, where do you start from there? First three games, you concede like 9 whatever goals? Like, it's just crazy. The whole thing is crazy.
You got to give the project time. Like, you can't expect two games. Honestly, it's a very poor showing for the Brentford. They should never lost 4-0. That's despicable. But you can't overreact if you're a United fan. You got to give the project time. You can't expect Ten Hag to come in, change the whole team, change the way that they're playing, and expect everything to go your way. It's not going to happen. There's going to be growing pains. Now, in terms of the whole Varane thing, me personally, I start Varane, Bailly, and put their new signing at the left-back position. But that's me personally.
Don't bring up Bailly, man. Don't say Bailly.
Bailly is a quality center-back. But
let's move on. This is the same guy that did a no-look shot in the AFCON's quarterfinals. I don't want to hear it, okay? Don't bring up that name.
At least, you know what? At least this guy has some, like, cojones. He tries some stuff. These other guys in the midfield are running from the ball. They're not showing up for passes. Like, I'd rather have that. At least some flair, some kind of something, some kind of excitement from your team, bro. Like, this Dalot character, he's worse than Wan-Bissaka. Let's be honest. He's not good.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
He's bad. RF might be better than Wan-Bissaka, supposedly. So I don't know about that.
That's a fact. The difference, brother. But Mo, you brought it up. So in terms of United giving Ten Hag time and all, same time, you need to show progression. And first two games, you lose to Brentford and Brighton, like, unconvincingly. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, you need to show something better. It's a whole new manager. I expect something different. And he's not really doing anything different right now. He's doing almost more of the same.
To be fair to him, the first two goals, his team sold him. Like, the hate
letting it. I hear that.
Ericsson gave up the ball on a simple thing a lot of teams do. Like, to be fair to him, he just literally just sold them on the first two goals. And now you're down.
This is where,
15 minutes, what do you do?
And this, again, this is where accountability comes in. And people, and this is what I'm seeing on Twitter. United fans, obviously, overreacting. I'm not, maybe it's an overreact, maybe it's not. They lost 4-0 to Brentford, so they deserve to overreact. But now United fans are going crazy over Glazer out. Apparently at Anfield, or are they playing at Anfield or Old Trafford? I'm not sure, but in their next fixture. I heard United fans are going to protest and not show up to the game. Is that an overreact? Because if we're being completely honest, hold up. If we're being completely honest, the Glazers has given United fans everything they want. They asked for Sancho. They gave him that.
No.
Hold on. They asked for a striker. They gave him one of the best strikers ever. They asked for a defender. They gave one of the most accomplished center backs in the current generation.
Huh?
Halfway over.
Okay. Just check.
Relax.
I was like, is that 60 mil signing? No.
Hold on. And there's one other big one. Every United fan asked for Ole out. What did they do? They send him out and they got the new manager that everyone was crying for. Every single fan base who wanted a new manager asked for this one specific manager. The Glazers give him that. Now my question is, do United fans have the right to be Glazer out? Because
they do. But you know what this taught me? Don't listen to the fans.
What?
They don't know what the hell they're doing. Hire a sporting director, a quality one, and they'll help you sort your problems. You should have kept Ragnick. You should let him make some of these decisions. Don't listen to these fans. They don't know how to run a football team.
I honestly think you guys are both off. Like, you guys are correct in what you're saying. Like, Arif, you didn't say anything wrong, but your framing is totally off. You said they got Sancho. They got Sancho a year later than they should have. Right, they asked for
what's the difference? You got a more accomplished Sancho, like, you got a guy who's developed more.
Accomplished. That means the players on your team,
how many
aging.
Years in the Dortmund? He won a German Cup, like, he was more developed. Like, he got him, and they got him on a cheaper too. Before, they almost spent 140 million. They got him on a 70, whatever.
I understand that. Really, but that's the business side. I'm talking about on the footballing side. You said, oh, they got Ollie out. Ollie should have been out 2 years before. He didn't do anything. You want to talk about progress? Where did the squad go from Mourinho? By the way. What does that mean, RF? What does that mean? You talk shit about Tottenham for not having trophies. What does second in the league mean? What trophy do you win? Mm-hmm. This is all about progress for the sake of nothing. Like, you can do whatever you want, but if it doesn't accumulate in nothing, then what was it for? Like, for example, they got Ten Hag, yes, but what did they give him?
What about Cristiano?
Yeah, Varane was good. Cristiano was good, but what else? You don't need two players to win. You need 11, 15, 16 players to win a trophy. They didn't get that. And honestly, Mo, you were talking about Ragnick. Bro, Ragnick, he was gone because he was asking for players in the summer transfer window. But before
that... Is he wrong, though?
He wasn't wrong. But the thing is, in the winter transfer window, he was acting very satisfied.
Yeah,
when United were crying for signings, he was acting very satisfied. And that's what happens when you're the puppet. Mourinho has talked about this so many times.
Here's the thing.
You just become the puppet.
My point was this. It wasn't Ragnick specifically. My point was, you need somebody who has a footballing mind that knows what players the team needs. When people are yelling for a CDM and they say, yo, go sign this particular player, that player could be really good in whatever system or whatever, right? But all we know is United need a CDM and they need a striker. They didn't get either one of them. They went and got the high-profile players that people have been screaming for. Get the Sanchos. Oh, Varane's available. We'll get Varane. Like, they went for those type of players. Now, you have a sporting director. He'll go, you know what? No, this is more important to the team. We're going to get this player.
I think we're agreeing because that's the Glazers' fault, too, for not having a sporting director. Yeah,
100%. 100%. But the Glazers, I feel like, fast forward 5-some years, whatever it is, they made decisions at inopportune times. However, they should have just hired somebody who knows what they're doing. They shouldn't have had Woodward making these decisions for so long.
By the way, United fans wanted Ed Woodward gone. He's gone out. I don't even know where he is. They hired a new CEO. So just throw that out there when you're talking about Glazer out. But just a reminder.
I don't know. Did you guys see the Ronaldo Glazer story that leaked?
No.
It was from United Muppeteers. It's a verified account on Twitter. And they quoted some... reputable sources when they were sourcing the story, and they're talking about how Ten Hag did not want Ronaldo, which is cool. Okay, I get it. You want to have a younger team full of like aggressive young talent who have the athleticism necessary for your system. Cool, right? He did not want Ronaldo, and that was the reason why Ronaldo wasn't in the preseason. So
yeah,
that was cool. They're on the same page. Player wants to leave. Management doesn't really want the player. Cool. Ronaldo wants to leave. Yeah. The Glazers did not want to let him leave. They're business-minded. He's the global superstar. He's an icon. So, Arif, this is an example of what the Glazers are doing in the background, and I'm sure this has happened multiple times. And now, fast forward, now Ronaldo's in this situation where he wants to leave, but he can't even really entertain offers. He can do what he wants, like come late to preseason and act like he's linked to sources, but he can't really leave because the Glazers don't want to let him leave.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place because he has to kind of manage the situation. He has to go to the media and two-face and say, yeah, Ronaldo's a great player. He can fit the system. But in reality, you don't really want to play with him, right? Yeah. So then now he's in this situation where the Man United team lost their first two games with a goal difference of -5. And the team does not look like it's in harmony. It looks like it can only get worse. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2-3 weeks until the transfer window closes, but I don't think it can be anything good. I don't think it can get better than this.
Okay, but say they are in the market still for players. Who do they need to sign today?
A CDM. They need CDM, an actual CDM. That's what they're missing in the team. It doesn't have to be a destroyer or something, like somebody who can just dictate tempo from the back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they need like four players. They need attackers. Because none of their attackers can score.
Bro,
Rashford stinks. Sancho's not playing good, and it's still scary hours for him.
Freeze. Sancho, we need to talk about it, guys. We need to talk about it. This is bad. This is really bad. Shout out to Armchair Gaffers. I was listening to their podcast recently, and they were calling out Sancho. It was like, yo, it's time, man. Like, this is the London boy, everybody, you know, hyped up for years. Went to Bundesliga, absolutely bossed it. He might have been one of our passwords in the past. Not trying to expose stuff. If anyone's trying to hack us, it won't work. Just let you know. Our Mr. Ace guy was a big Sancho guy. But brother, it's really bad right now. Like, come on.
It's not looking good for him.
it's not even that. Like, it has to be right now. He has to perform. Like, there's no excuses. You came to the Premier League. You made the big move. Ever since that England final when you missed a penalty, like, it's not look good, brother. It's not look good.
And so. And honestly, on that point, we can see the stark difference in how the media views different teams and their players. Like, Pepe was crucified, crucified, and Sancho cost the exact same amount. And we haven't heard a peep.
Yeah. So am I off? Because Gary Neville doesn't want to say nothing. This guy's a voice. He said a lot about Pepe, but wouldn't say nothing about Sancho.
Yeah. And
you know, again, like, first season, you don't judge young players as much because he's still young. What is he, like 22 or whatever? But right now, like, it's right now is make it or break it. Like, he has to show up. And he hasn't done that the last two games because everybody thought under Ten Hag, he's going to blow up. It's not looking. It's not showing right now. I just had to throw this out on Twitter. I just seen a tweet. They call in Sancho the Marco Fultz of football. If you know, you know. If you watch ball, you understand it. But that is crazy. That is crazy. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of see it. But he was hyped like Marco Fultz. Marco Fultz was hyped up, bro. He was hyped like crazy. First in the draft and everything.
Marco Fultz is crazy.
Bro, drafted over Jason Tatum too and stuff. Yeah.
One last point in terms of your question, who should they sign? I was thinking about it. There's two players I put on the short list. Brozovic at Inter, I think would be a quality signing if they could get him, or Tonali at Milan. I think one of those two would be quality for them.
With Tonali, first of all, why would he leave? Why would he leave Milan? You're probably in the Champions League team.
Probably wouldn't.
Just won. And the thing is, he's still growing. He's still learning. You know, he's learning well in Milan. He's going to get the big step now that Kessié left. You know, he's going to get a lot more minutes. So I don't want to see him come to United, I don't think. But apparently they're in for Rabiot, which United fans are...
Stinks.
Oh no, it doesn't. God. No, it doesn't.
I like his game. I think he's an upgrade from McTominay and Fred. I think he's better than what most United fans expected. Like, again, like, you're trying to fit the profile. I think he fits the profile for what Ten Hag wants, unless you're trying to go for it, like Mahmoud said, a TikTok player, you know, for the social media hype, those specific high-profile players. So, I don't know. Like, why judge on Rabiot so early?
Go for Brozovic. He'd be perfect CDM for them. CDM. Anyways, let's move on.
All right, so you guys want to talk about Arsenal quickly? It was a good win. I don't think there's too much to get into, but just want to highlight a couple things. Martinelli, the main thing that I can see about his game is he plays like a player who trains every day. Like, I can tell when somebody actually touches a ball and works hard all the time. Martinelli is like the epitome of that. Like, if you see him when he's running for a ball in the corner, you know those ones that you might just say, oh, it's out? Martinelli's rushing to get there and he's catching it. And he's taking a touch and he's playing it backwards. Like, he's looking like it's effortless for him. And I can definitely see that comes down to being dedicated in training and working hard. He's become a creator this season, which has surprised me. I did not know that was in his game. But he's creating chances, not even just in these last two games in the preseason. He was getting assists. Yeah. So that's another great thing I've seen from him. And I think he's only going to get better.
Liba said it best, man. That front three of Saka, Martinelli, and Jesus pressing is dangerous. And we've been so much more dominant. I know it's only two games. I'm not going to overreact. But I've never seen a confident Arsenal team like this and a comfortable Arsenal team winning the way they're winning right now. And it's because of the front three, the way they're pressing, the hardworking players like Martinelli, who honestly should have had more goals. Just throw that out there. Like, he's playing well, but he could do better, if I'm being completely honest. But I'm not going to be too hard on him. It's too hard right now.
Jesus, I know he scored two goals and, you know, everybody's proud of his performance. But in my opinion, I think he should have scored more. And I honestly need him to be more clinical, I'll be honest. Because scoring the crazy goal that nobody can see coming is cool. But I'd rather a player who scores all the goals that they should.
Yes.
And I think that's where he needs to up his game at Arsenal. Because at City, you know, you can get away with missing those chances because you'll always create more. At Arsenal, we need those goals. Like, Leicester could have turned it around. But, you know, I'm glad he got his two goals. He was almost on a hat trick. He had his chances. But I need him to be more clinical.
I agree.
3 points, right? Two positive, one negative. Arsenal, you guys did well to, like, when you guys went, every time they scored, to come right back. That's something I don't think I've seen you guys from, like, I haven't seen you guys do in a long time. Mm-hmm.
It's character.
That's a real positive. That's real character. And the second thing that I think is super important is you guys don't look reliant on Saka this season.
Last season,
Saka had to be involved. And I think, what, three of the goals he wasn't really involved in? He's kind of just like just a passenger of this game. So, like, that's really positive for you guys. The negative?
I agree.
Wesley Fofana. That was a terrible game.
He got
that
packed up. That
was
a up.
Terrible game. Martinelli had him sent multiple times. It was bad.
Honestly, you know, as bad, I don't even say as bad as he played, but as bad as he got packed up, I think that was more down to Martinelli than down to Fofana. Martinelli was moving crazy that whole game. Nobody could get near him. Like, every time he was taking a touch, it was perfectly, like, right in his path. Like, defenders thought they could get it, but they couldn't. He was doing spin moves. He was doing a lot of crazy things that I haven't really seen. So I think it's a lot down to Martinelli, not necessarily down to Fofana. I wouldn't put that down as a negative for him. Yeah. But, honestly, from Saka and Odegaard, I was a little bit disappointed because I don't think they've started the season that well. I want to see more from them.
I agree. I was going to touch upon that. Saka, I think, has been the most underwhelming player in the Arsenal squad out of the 11, which it wasn't terrible. But, like, you know, we were so used to Saka being the 10 out of 10 player and everyone else being, like, just average or somewhat. But yeah, no, Saka and Odegaard, they step it up. It's just a slight bit.
I want to see you guys against a team that's more cohesive, though. Like, as much as Leicester in the past few seasons have been good, I feel like they're very much a team that's in shambles right now, just player-wise. They're giving up their best players. They don't have replacements. Defensively, they're kind of all over the place. Honestly, although you guys did really well, I think you guys played really well. It's not to take away from your game. I just want to see you guys kind of come up more against a team that has a game plan, like a Brighton or even West Ham, like a team that has a plan when they're playing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's going to be a while until we play a team that's like that because our fixtures are pretty good. We got Bournemouth next, Fulham, Villa, United. That's a slap. Everton, Brentford. Like, we don't face a decent, well,
I'd be interested Brentford, for Villa and Brentford.
But, like, the biggest game is not until October against Tottenham.
Yeah.
So, you know, but quickly I want to touch up on, since you brought it up, Tielemans. I know we've been linked with him this whole window. I did mention on the Discord to a couple of the guys I was chatting with. I'm not as convinced. He and Ace, you might have been right. I see a little liability defensively. I know he's very, you know, he is a good player. He's a great player, but there is some defensive liability. I don't think he can do the press. I don't know. I just seen some things I wasn't happy with, you know, from yesterday's game. But other than that, like, it's who am I to judge? I'm not Mikel.
All right, just last thing before we leave Arsenal and we go to City quickly. Just a question for everybody in the Discord or anybody who wants to answer. Who would you rather have as your pair of fullbacks, pair of left backs, Zinchenko and Tierney or Cucurella and Chilwell?
Ooh.
You guys just give quick answers and we'll leave this for later.
How's that up for debate? All right,
I'm with Mo. I'm taking Cucurella and Chilwell. I'm actually a big fan of Chilwell's, if I'm being honest.
Well, me personally, I'm not. So I'm taking. I think they're both offensively great. The Chelsea fullbacks, they're both all offensively great. Defensively, eh. While we have one offensive weapon and one defensive weapon, so I'm going with the Arsenal one. But yeah, everybody in the Discord.
Bro,
and,
if we're gonna be honest, and if we're gonna be honest,
just answer that.
Tierney's the worst out of that four. Like, he's not even on the same tier. Zinchenko could be in those conversations. Tierney can't. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Slow down a bit. Please.
All right, guys, we have to move on.
That is disgusting.
City. Anybody have anything they want to say before we get in trouble again?
No, let's move on. Barcelona.
Hold on. We got Haaland. What was it? Haaland, 8 touches, though?
Yeah, that was a Lukaku-esque performance.
8 touches, 2 goals?
Yeah. 2 goals and 1 assist in 2 games.
That's crazy. 8 touches and, like, 3/8 of it is just goals. It ends up being a goal. It's crazy.
Yeah, the boring masterclass as usual. Yeah. Nothing normal. Nothing out of the ordinary. But
just the only thing on City I would say is Foden's disappointing me.
I thought he was good.
No, but he's disappointing me with how he's playing. He had a chance to square it to Haaland for the easiest tapping of Haaland's life. And he was selfish and shot it and missed.
But everything else, it was perfect. It was just that one moment. It was just that. Everything else was, to me, was top tier. But it's okay. We'll bring it up again. You guys want me to quickly touch up on PSG?
Barca.
Yeah.
Barca
first, yeah. Barca.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. So, as a big fan of high quality football, I've been calling for the best players to challenge themselves. And one of the best players in the world, Lewandowski, has finally left the German league, and we can finally see him tested in La Liga, which is probably the second best or the best league in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And now that he's there, I just want to know, what's everybody's goals for him? What are your expectations for him? How will we view him this season? Because now he's up against Benzema for top scorer, right? That's who his main rival is. He has a team that's good enough to compete in the Champions League with this Barcelona team. So I just want to know, what is a good season for Lewandowski for you guys?
I think personally, he has to score 20 goals, at least. Personally, he has to score 20 goals.
In the league?
In the league. Because if we're being completely fair also to Lewandowski, you're going from a Bayern team whose midfield's undoubtedly the best. And he's going to a Barca team that I don't think the midfield's the best in the league. It's not. It's good midfield, but it's nowhere compared to the Bayern midfield.
You know what I mean? Pedri,
Gavi,
De Jong, maybe
De Jong,
Gavi, yeah. Gavi was playing. Gavi,
these are great players.
Busquets out here getting red cards for free now.
Come on, man, these are great players. But go on,
Busquets,
go on.
Busquets is done. Watch Busquets. He's a finished player. He's holding on to what he can. He's a finished player. He's fit. Like next year, the year after, he's out. He's done. His football career is over.
Probably.
All right, Mo. Go on. So you have a caveat with your take, but go on.
My caveat is basically he's going from a Bayern team that was better than this Barca team.
I'm going to say this right now. Lewandowski has to match what he's done in the past in the La Liga to be proven as his second best player in the world, Ballon d'Or nominee. Whatever, he's the Champions League winner. He has to exactly match what he's done in the past to be considered, you know, to be judged.
You need to give him another season. I don't think you can do it this season because there's a lot of moving parts.
Why not?
There's a lot of moving parts in this Barcelona team.
They've
brought in six new players. They have
stars in their own teams.
Let me say what I'm saying. They have a brand new. They have six new brand players, right? They have a lot of players that should be leaving, right? They have a lot of young players that are getting better as they age, right? With Pedri, with Gavi, with whatever. Ansu Fati's finally back. They have a whole bunch of those type of players. And not only that, they have a manager who it's second season, not including him managing Saudi Arabia. It's his second season. You're going to need to give him at least this season to kind of gel with the team. I think it would be harsh to expect him to be Ballon d'Or status in this Barcelona team this season. That would be harsh to expect that from him. Now, do you
wanted Ronaldo to score 40 goals last season?
I didn't want Ronaldo to score 40 goals. And it's not Ronaldo every day, bro. We're not talking about Ronaldo time with Lewandowski. What I expect of him is to score 20 in the league, to have a comfortable 20, to be top three strikers in La Liga. But I'm not expecting
him to be out the gate.
Yeah. I'm not expecting to be out the gate the best player, the best striker in the world. That's harsh to do.
Why can I ask you a question, Mo? And I want a direct answer. Why is that harsh to do when he was plauded as being the best striker in the world for so long? It was only until Benzema had this crazy Champions League year last year that Lewandowski was number one. It's Lewandowski. So the best player, why did your standards change?
Any player struggles when they go to a different system, they go to a different team. You have to learn the whole environment again.
I'm talking about a specific player.
Yeah, and I'm telling
you. No, but I'm asking specifically.
Okay, what's your specific question? Rephrase the question.
Do you give these allowances to every player? Because you haven't in the past.
I have.
You have not. No, you haven't.
What do you mean I haven't?
Why is it a bad thing, or why can't you expect a player to hit the ground running when they are known as the best in the world and one of the best of all time?
I'm not expecting him not to hit the ground running. I'm saying don't expect him to be number one. That's what you're putting out. You're saying he should be in contention for it. Basically, if we had all these plaudits for him in the Bundesliga, he should have those same plaudits in La Liga. No, it's not apples to orange. Like, things are different.
No, I understand that. But you said top three in the league.
Benzema's one of them. Benzema's one of them.
No, he has to be number two. You're saying that in top three, like, there isn't an outright second best. No, he has to be number two.
If that makes you feel better, number two in the league.
Okay. No, you're. I understand giving him an allowance. You're giving him too much.
Sure, if that makes you feel better, number two in the league. This is a guy in his prime. If that makes you feel better,
in his prime.
Cool. I'm not gonna hang up on that.
Honestly, Mo is right slightly, and maybe I'm a bit carried away by saying he has to match what he's done at Bayern because it is his first season with a bunch of new players, new system, new country. So maybe I'm being unfair a bit, but he does have to somewhat match expectations as well. You know, he has to be in contention for silverware because you're this high profile striker, one of the best in the world, one of the best Bundesliga players ever. You know, Barcelona need to compete now. So I guess it's more so judged based off team performances. So if Barcelona are in contention and winning La Liga again or winning Champions Leagues again, so maybe he can judge Robert Lewandowski that way instead of individual statistics. So, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. In my opinion, if you're activating your fourth financial lever on to make sure certain players can play, and one of them is the best players in the world, then I don't know. I'm having a bit more expectation, but maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. But last thing, you guys just want to touch on PSG quickly. Home with the young brother Mbappe.
The French Kyrie.
Apparently, with the last game that he played, he didn't get a pass on a break, and then he just walked back when he was at almost like the final third of the pitch. And the team was still on the breakaway, and if he actually kept making the run-in, he would have gotten a chance.
Yeah.
And then later on, reports stated that he is going to be the player on penalty kicks instead of Neymar. And that has made Neymar angry, and it just seems like there's problems there.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of obvious. This probably should have happened long ago. Like, the fact that Neymar and Mbappe has played together this long and that whole situation hasn't been figured out yet. It's obviously egos. You know, I feel like Tuchel did a good job kind of handling the egos before. But now all these change of managers, you know, everybody wants to be this guy and that guy. I don't know. It's a whole mess. I personally don't care, though. I'm not watching that league.
I swear you watched two games, though.
We can complain about it. It's not going to make a difference. Like, what was the score when that happened?
I think it was like, I don't know, like 3-0 or something like that.
See what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. They'll be fine. That will never happen in Premier League, La Liga, and Mbappe get away with that. He'd get destroyed. Uber Eats, he can get away with that because no one cares.
I don't think he gets away with it. I don't think any self-respecting manager lets him get away with that. Just because, like,
I don't know too much.
You know how poor that looks on just your team. Like, how the players will stop respecting you. If you let one player do that, they'll just stop respecting you. He has to be, whether privately or publicly, reprimanded for, probably not publicly, but at least privately be reprimanded for what, you know what I mean, for having that behavior. Like, yo, that's not acceptable. Next time you do that, you're getting subbed.
And honestly, I think this comes down to him just not being happy with even signing for PSG. I know he got the big money contract, whatever, but it's beyond money. He wanted to go to Madrid. Madrid was in his DNA. He was almost there. But then they gave him the offer of a lifetime. He couldn't say no, and he has to live with that decision.
Yep.
But I'm sorry, Mbappe, that's your fault. Like, you know, you made that choice. This is you now. You have to stay here and figure it out.
Also, yeah. I think generally you're making a big deal out of nothing, really. We're being honest.
It's not like they're not going to win the league.
Yeah, players get frustrated in moments. It could have just been a moment that he was frustrated and they just moved past it. Like, this could be a bigger deal than it really looks like.
It probably is. I do think we're trying to fish for, you know, any type of issues with PSG. Anything with Neymar and Mbappe. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, so we'll end it off there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you all next week. Take care. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.